Hey everyone, welcome back to Oh Snap, a true crime podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jennifer Snap. In this episode, I'll be discussing the Hello Kitty murder. I would like to add a content warning, trigger warning, disclaimer, however you want to phrase it. The episode will include topics not suitable for children, such as drugs, sexual assault, and extreme torture. If this isn't something that you want to listen to, I completely understand. I heard another podcast recently give a disclaimer right before the triggering content. So if you want to still listen to the episode, I will try my best to remember to give a trigger warning right before I discuss certain topics. That way you can skip ahead if you'd like, and then you can still listen to the episode without having to hear that content. I can't think of another word. I'm sorry. I've never really cared for Hello Kitty myself. However, I do have at least one small Hello Kitty doll that my baby sister gave me for Christmas one year. She's 15 years younger than me, and I cherish everything she gives me. I still have a drawing that she made for me a few years ago, packed away in a tote from when I recently moved. The case today takes place in Hong Kong. The official name of Hong Kong is Hong Kong Special Administrative Region, or Hong Kong SAR. Hong Kong was taken over by British forces after the defeat of China in the Opium War of 1842. July 1, 1997, Hong Kong became a special administrative region of China. Hong Kong is a metropolitan area located in southern China. Fan Manyi had a troubled childhood. Abandoned as a child by her parents, she was raised in an all-girls school. As a teen, she developed a drug addiction and was working as a prostitute to pay for this habit. She worked at various nightclubs and brothels to pay for her substance abuse habits, such as alcohol and meth. Married in 1996, she gave birth to her son. I read on one site that both she and her husband were drug users, and the relationship was less than perfect. Supposedly, neighbors would complain to police about arguments and domestic abuse between the two. At this point in her life, she met Chan, who paid her to partake in sex and drugs at his apartment. At 23, she worked as a hostess at a nightclub in Hong Kong. Fan Manye met Chan Man Lok in 1997 while working at the nightclub. The two formed a convenient friendship as Fan was still working as a prostitute on the side while battling her addiction, and Chan was a pimp who also sold drugs. 2 years later, on March 17, 1999, Fan made the poor decision to steal Chan's wallet, which held approximately $4,000 inside. One site said the amount was 20,000 Hong Kong dollars or 2,560 US dollars, but I only saw this on one site, so I believe it was $4,000, as this was the amount listed on at least two sites that I looked up. Fan returned the $4,000 and $10,000 in interest. However, Chan demanded an additional $16,000. When Fan was unable to come up with the money, Chan had 27-year-old Lung Xing Cho, 21-year-old Lung Wei Lun, and Chan's underage 13-year-old girlfriend, who was referred to as Ah Fong, accomplice him in kidnapping Fan and taking her back to his place. The original plan was to sell Fan until she repaid the debt with interest. However, prostituting Fan wasn't going to be enough. They instead tied Fan up and beat her for over a month while subjecting her to various horrors while high on methamphetamine. This is going to be the bulk of the torture and the, in my opinion, the most explicit content from this episode. So I do want to just give you a little trigger warning now. I'll come back in later after recording to say about how far ahead you should probably skip just to get past this if you want to. If you want to skip the graphic torture, please skip ahead 1 minute. The four kept constantly torturing Fan with hot melted plastic, fire, and also by raping and beating her repeatedly with steel pipes and kicks to the head until her body gave in to the abuse. The men and Ah Fong would melt straws and drip the scalding liquid plastic onto the soles of Fan's feet. Ah Fong admitted to pouring chili oil onto the burns to cause excruciating pain. They bound Fan's wrists together with electrical wire, suspended her from the ceiling, and would beat her all over with metal pipes and table legs until her head was covered in blood and her fingers were broken. I also read on multiple sites that they forced Fan to eat human feces of Ah Fung, and they all had urinated into her mouth and made her drink motor oil. If she would dare to spit out the liquids, they would beat her senseless. When Fan fell out of consciousness, the men would stop and play video games until she came to again. The men would hang Fan by her feet from a hook attached to the ceiling while they slept. Sometime mid-April in 1999, Fan succumbed to her injuries. The men argued with Ah Fung that Fan died from an overdose of methamphetamine she took herself. Most experts speculate her injuries are what killed her, though. This is speculated as a true cause of death could not be determined. I'm going to give another warning. This is also pretty disturbing. And again, I will come back and advise you how far ahead to skip if you don't want to hear this part. To skip past the gruesome details, please speed up 40 seconds at least. The men moved Fan's lifeless body to the bathtub before dismembering her with a handsaw over 10 hours. They boiled multiple pieces of her body to avoid decomposition and discarded them with the rest of Chan's household garbage. This did not include Fan's head. After boiling her head on the stove, they sewed her bare, fleshless skull into the head of an oversized Hello Kitty mermaid doll and kept several of her teeth and organs in plastic bags as souvenirs. Police were able to retrieve Fan's liver, intestines, lungs, and heart. I found on a few sites that they kept her muscles, skin, and some organs in Ziploc bags in the freezer. Ah Fung began having nightmares of what happened to Fan, and in May of 1999, she reported the murder to the Hong Kong police, claiming she was being haunted by the ghost of a young woman that she helped kill. Police initially brushed off Ah Fung's confessions as a teenage delusion or just another teen experimenting with drugs. Police still followed Ah Fung to the apartment to see one of the most disgusting acts of human cruelty. Ah Fung was given immunity in exchange for her testimony against the men. Although the defense tried to convince the jury Fan's death was caused by a drug overdose as she used methamphetamine before becoming pregnant with her son, her husband testified that Fan stopped using drugs years earlier when finding out she was pregnant. Due to the cause of death not being able to be determined as drug overdose or torture, the men were not convicted of murder, but manslaughter, unlawful imprisonment, and preventing the legal burial of a body, which is a criminal offense in Hong Kong. The jury believed Fan's death was not intended, but was caused by the men. The trio was sentenced to life in prison with the possibility of parole in 20 years in December of 2000, after 6 weeks of trial. After the publicity of Fan's torture and death was widespread, no one wanted to buy or rent the apartment where the horrific abuse took place. Residents claimed Fan haunted the hallways of the building. Eventually, no one wanted to live in any of the apartments in the building on Granville Road either. The vacant building was purchased and demolished in 2012. I know that we are in 2021. However, unfortunately, I was unable to find any more news on where the men are today. If they've been released, denied parole, if they've passed. I couldn't find anything. If you can find any information, you can share it with any of my social media. I'll include my link tree in the show notes so you can follow my social media platforms if you'd like. You can also email me at osnapatruecrimepodcast@gmail.com. Please feel no obligation, but if you want to show your support for the show, I've created a Buy Me a Coffee for one-off donations and a Patreon for monthly subscriptions that you can cancel at any time. I also have included these links into my link tree for ease of access. Until next time, my loves, snap out of it.
Hey there, Rainbow Warriors! I'm CJ, host of Beyond the Rainbow, True Crimes of the LGBT. My episodes focus on crimes committed by and against the LGBTQ community. I've covered cases you probably have heard of, such as Matthew Shepard, Brandon Tina, and the Orlando Pulse nightclub massacre, as well as some lesser-known cases like the murder of Ray Hainish, the Australian Gay Beat murders, and the suspicious disappearance of Lisa Lynn Stone. I cover cases brought to me by listeners like Penny Brummer, who I believe was wrongfully convicted. Taboo cases such as lesbian corrective rape and murder in South Africa, and Pray the Gay Away camps. I discuss gay serial killers, women who pretend to be men to hook up with other women, and trans murders. I'm opinionated and uncensored. I know I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but surely I'm someone's shot at tequila. No matter what your gender or orientation in life might be, please join me as I tackle rainbow crimes in search of unicorn justice. Remember, it's not a crime to be gay, unless you're a murderer.